All right. Thank you for sharing, Brian. That was interesting. It's good to hear how things are going. Well, today is Mother's Day, so I want to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. Yeah, I'm grateful for my mom and all that she did for me, and I love her, and I'm thankful for my wife as well, and the mother that she is to our children. It's a big blessing to be a mom, and I don't know anything about being a mom, and so the things that I share this morning may not be right or may not resonate maybe like they should. I guess I've observed, but I'm a dad, so my role is different. But I hope that I can encourage you mothers here this morning. And I also want to recognize those that may struggle with a day like today. Maybe you're like Jacob's wife, Rachel, who God closed her womb for a time. Or maybe you'd like to have more children, are not able to. A day like today could be kind of cruel. And so I want to remember you as well. Egger in Proverbs 30 talks about the deep, unfulfilled longing in the heart of a barren woman. And so it's a real thing. And we know other stories in Scripture of those that struggled with being barren. So today, I guess we weep with those that weep, but we rejoice with those that rejoice. And it's truly a blessing to be a mother, I think. And there's a little bit of a holiness of bearing children. It's part of God's plan for mankind. And many times throughout Scripture, we see God directly involved with the conception of a child. I want to read Psalm 127. This is in the ESV. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage of the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. So we see God being directly involved with house building. we know the story of Hannah, how that God withheld children from Hannah until the right time, and then God gave her Samuel and then other children after that. Turn to Psalm 113. Psalm 113 says this, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in the heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord." So we see God being involved with bringing children into this world. And I don't know about you, but if you look at the level of praise in this chapter, the Lord is high above all nation and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high? So great praise. And I don't know about you, but when I think of the great praise of God, and if I'm going to list two things that God does in his mighty majesty, children is one of them. He lifts up the poor and needy, and he gives children. And I'm not sure I would put children in that list. I might say, well, he brings forgiveness of sin, or he brings, you know, this or that or whatever. Children? I might be a little bit like the disciples who pushed the children away and said, Jesus needs to focus on the important things here. But Jesus drew the children near, and he said, "Of such, of children are is the kingdom of heaven." And God told Jeremiah that before he formed him in the womb, he knew him. Before he was even created. So do you think that God formed your children in the womb just how he wanted them? And I wonder if we sometimes miss the miracle of bearing children or being a parent. You know, being a parent is being a little bit like God. I don't know if you've thought about that. It's a way that we image bear God. So God created us to be image bearers or to reflect him to those around us. We see how marriage is like God's love to the church, right? It's a picture of Christ. Well, but isn't parenting similar? So there's so many teaching moments in Scripture where God uses a father and a child. And the New Testament talks about that we are the children of God, adopted into his family. And oh, the wonder of that, being adopted and being a child of God. Being a child of a perfect parent. I've talked to several people, I actually talked to someone recently, and I always think it's interesting. They have their first child, and I'll ask them, "So how does that change your perspective to have a child?" And he was talking about that it changes his perspective on how he looks at God and his love. And this individual was telling me that he would kill for his son. You know, tear down and destroy because he loves his son. He wouldn't send his son to die on the cross. Like, what was God thinking? And, you know, God's love is so much greater than ours. It's so much higher. It's above our understanding. So I think as we parent, as you mother your children, you should reflect God's love, that God has loved you, and you should reflect that love to your children. You bear the image of God to your children. And I think that's so important, that you mother like God would lead you, that you discipline like God does you, that you love like God does you, that you have mercy on your children like God does you. So, how are you doing with motherhood? You know, mothers are all different. You have different gifts, different talents. God has made each of you unique. God formed you in the womb with exactly how he wanted you to be. So how are you doing in your responsibility? One person may be good at one area, another may be good at another area. And you know, there's so many different areas of being in being a mom. So I listed out a few. So a mother needs to be a talented chef. They need to be a dentist, pull teeth sometimes. They need to be a doctor, a chauffeur, a seamstress, a janitor. Sometimes a mom needs to be a police officer and a judge, a hairstylist, an HR professional, and a wise counselor. And some of you are even school teachers on top of that. So that's incredible. And I don't want to, you know, that's not an all-inclusive list, and I don't want to discourage you with that. Like, wow, that's a lot. But what I want you to understand is, wow, the responsibility of a mom is huge. There's a lot to it. And you're supposed to do all those things with a smile on your face. I told my wife one time that her job of managing people is greater than mine. Because she has 5 little employees, and I only have 2, and mine pack their own lunch, and they go home at the end of the day. But what a great task God has given you, and the responsibility of being a mom can be a heavy burden at times. And I suppose whether or not we enjoy mothering depends on what we're doing in the moment, what role we're playing. So how are you doing with your children? And I guess my question is, are you mothering with the fruit of the Spirit? And that's my sermon title this morning is Mothering with the Fruit of the Spirit. Are you mothering with love? And how well are you reflecting or bearing Christ's image to your children? And before we get into the fruit of the Spirit, I want to talk a little bit about humility. So if you want to be like Christ, then you need to have the mind of Christ as you mother, and that is mothering with humility. And I would like to, with all the responsibilities that God's given you, I can probably confidently say that you struggle in one or two areas, that it's a challenge. And mothering is not something you do in secret. Like, it's on display. Everybody sees. Your husband sees. The world around you sees. Other people in church see. And your children see. Your children will grow up and talk about how it was with their mother. Humility is a mother's best friend. I want you to consider that. There's nothing that Satan would love to do more than to take the beauty of a godly mother and corrupt it. And it's corrupted through pride and selfishness and a critical attitude towards others. You know, and children are typically sinful. I don't know if you know that or not, or maybe your children are different than mine, but, you know, children struggle with things. And, you know, you can, as a mother, you can join them or you can pull them to something greater. So when things go wrong and sin rears its ugly head, you know you're struggling, your husband knows you're struggling, your children know you're struggling, and more importantly, God knows you're struggling. So embrace humility. Humility, three things I think that humility brings us. So humility allows you to receive correction. So humility opens our lives and struggles to others where we can receive correction and others' ideas. So if you never share, if you're never open in the areas where you're struggling, you'll probably never receive the wisdom that you need. Maybe we are, but maybe we're not. And it is open to the fact that maybe we're to hearing correction. And that correction may even come through your child. It's crazy what children say sometimes. And humility, the second thing, allows others to struggle too. So your children will need a certain amount of freedom to fail. And so I encourage you to give them a little bit of freedom to fail. And obviously it depends on maturity level. You don't want to give them this big consequential thing to fail in, because that's not wise. But give them some freedom to fail. So humility allows others to struggle. And then pick them up when they make mistakes. God has given you a task of motherhood, and it's a struggle. It's hard. It's something you grow in and something that you you end up a lot wiser than you started. So you need to give yourself some grace and give others grace and give your children grace as well. And the third thing is humility opens your eyes. So I didn't look up the exact verse, but in Proverbs it talks about that if you faint in the day of battle, your strength is small. And you can think about that and be like, that is so basic, but it's so profound. If we faint in the day of adversity, we're weak. So if your child provokes you to anger, that's bringing out weakness. If your child makes you afraid, that's bringing out that your faith is small. So keep that in mind, that if you struggle with something, it's because your strength is probably small. With humility, you might have the goal of teaching your child all these things, this good list of things. But I think a humble mother will say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me as I teach my child this list of things? And being open to the Lord's correction in that. So you can turn to Galatians chapter 5, and we'll look at the fruit of the Spirit. So Galatians chapter 5, we'll pick up at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Excuse me. I would like you to ponder these things. We're going to kind of briefly talk about each one, but I want you to go home and consider this for this week. In thinking about if your mothering looks like these things, and maybe asking the question, so the first one is love. How can your mothering be full of love? Well, what is love? Love is patient and kind, slow to anger. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. So how can your parenting look like that? Joy. Do you do your work as a mother with joy? And again, it might depend on what you're doing, right? But I'd like to encourage you to seek out joy. And I know there's seasons and everything. There's times of sorrow. There's times of struggle. There's jobs that you don't like. But a joyful spirit can go a long way in promoting love and unity in the home. The next one is peace, quietness, and rest. And isn't that what every young mother longs for? I just need some peace and quiet. How do you do peace and quiet and rest when there's so much work that needs to be done? And I don't have all the answers to that. Like, there is just a time of plugging away and getting things done. But I think a short time of quietness and rest during the day would be really good. And I guess, yeah, and then work out of that rest. Have a calm spirit. We prioritize the things that we want to do, right? So I'd encourage you to prioritize a time of rest, even if it's 5 minutes, if possible. And then I think also, in thinking of a calm spirit or having rest in the home, I think it means to work through conflict with your children and between your children in a godly way. So talking about things, bring them to repentance if possible, but working through conflict in a biblical way. So think about it like this, and this isn't original with me or whatever, but I heard somebody recently say that we should be a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper. So a peacemaker, and again, the differences or whatever, but a peacemaker will go and seek out peace. How can I bring peace to this situation? Fred and Peter are over here fighting, and how can I step in and bring peace? And a peacekeeper will do anything to keep the peace. So, well, we're just going to put these two guys in different rooms, and we'll keep the peace that way. Well, we may sacrifice a lot of things to try to keep the peace. But let's be peacemakers. Let's take an active role in making peace between people or between our children. The next one is long-suffering. So long-suffering isn't giving up. It's holding steady to what is good. And I think of long-suffering as in giving your children plenty of time to grow up. Maturity will come. It takes time. And gentleness, this word gentleness, it's not gentle as we think of gentle. So it means useful in the context of moral excellence. So a lot of times it's translated goodness or good or kindness. But I think applying it to motherhood, I think you would say that you mother with a pure heart and you have a just a lot of virtue. It kind of goes hand in hand with the next one, goodness. So mother with virtue, teach your children what is right. Faith. You as a mother have such a pivotal role in promoting faith in your children. And I'd like you to take that and run with it. Proverbs says that what is taught to a young person will go through life with them. And so take the opportunity that you have with your children to teach them faith, teach them about God. Meekness. And I believe that this word meekness would be, as we think of, gentle. Gentleness wrapped up in humility. So when your child spills your coffee, is your response meekness? Is your response gentle and humble? Then temperance is self-control. So are your passions under control? So are you able to lay aside the things that you want to do and do the things that you need to do as a mother? So I hope these things give you some things to think about as you fulfill what God's called you to do. And remember that this is preceded by Paul saying that the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. So these aren't easy things to do for us in our natural state. We would struggle with them, and your children will test you. But again, it's going to bring out whether our strength is great or small. Then the last scripture I want you to turn to is Proverbs chapter 20. Sorry, did I say Proverbs chapter 20? Proverbs chapter 4. Sorry. We're going to start at verse 20. And these verses have been on my mind lately, and I'm not sure, I don't know, just pondering how they should look in my life, I guess. But Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." So wisdom brings life and health. And it says there, keep thy heart with all diligence. So in other words, you could say, above all else, keep your heart. Put away perversity and corruption. But then he says, let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. And you know, I've been thinking about that and how I can so easily get distracted from the responsibilities that I have. And I suppose it's that way with a mother as well. You can, you know, you have so many things to do with being a mother, but it's so easy to get distracted. You know, we have social media. We have our friends. We have our side hustle. We have our hobbies. And we have other good things. It may even be things in the church. We have different committees. We have, making food for this, helping this person out with that. And we can so easily get distracted from what God has called us to. And I guess if you're a mother today, you need to keep your eyes on point, or keep your eyes straight ahead. Focus on what God has called you to do. Don't let the world or anything else distract you from fulfilling the role that God himself gave to you. So God gave you a gift. And take the blessing that he's given, and don't turn to the right or to the left. Now, I don't know, you may be thinking this morning about how you've failed as a mother, or how you have so much to work on. And don't get discouraged. You know, it was interesting in our lesson this morning, and we kind of talked about it a little bit in Sunday school, that Paul said, I exercise myself to have a pure conscience before God or whatever. I forget exactly how it was said, but it basically the idea of it's something that he works at every day to do these things. And so that's kind of what I see, like, to live out the fruit of the Spirit perfectly is going to be a monumental task. But it's something that we work at every day. And God, I think, takes care of the rest. God can redeem our best efforts. God is really good at taking dust and making man, of making something out of nothing. And so even our best efforts probably fall way short. It for sure does if we compare it to what God has done for us. So, but God can use those things. And, you know, if we go through life, sorry, I keep saying we, and I mean you, because I'm not a mom. But if you go through life and you mother with humility and repentance, and you do the best you can, and when you fall short, you repent and you work on that, and you strive, you exercise yourself to mother with the fruit of the Spirit, I think maybe sometimes those things where you fail can speak louder to your children than the areas that you do well in, because God can redeem them. So as you mother, accept God's grace, put off evil, and fix your eyes ahead. Don't turn to the right hand or to the left. And remember, God is long-suffering. These things that we want to give to our children are gifts that God has given us, the love, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the meekness. And I'm so grateful that we serve a God like that. Why don't we stand for prayer? Father in heaven, I'm just very grateful this morning. I'm grateful for my mother and all that she has done for me in my life. And I'm grateful for my wife and how she mothers our children. And I'm grateful, Lord, for the ladies here in this room that are pouring their life into their children and trying to make a difference, trying to raise them in a godly way. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless each one of them. Give them wisdom. Help them to mother with courage and with just all the fruits of the Spirit. Help them to love their children well. And I pray, Lord, for all of the men here that are husbands, that they would support their wives in this, encourage them. And Lord, I just thank you for how great you are, and these things that we fall short in, that we try so hard to do, these fruits of the Spirit to do well, to mother well. Lord, these things are given to us freely, and you do it perfectly. And I'm so grateful for that, Lord. I'm grateful for your love, for your patience with us, for your long suffering, for your gentleness, your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for being a great God that's lifted up above the heavens. And thank you, Lord, for reaching down to the earth and giving us children and the life that it brings and the joy that it brings. You know, it says in Scripture that the crown of an old man is his grandchildren. And sometimes these things we miss, Lord. We don't value it like we should. And I pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts and change us. And thank you, Lord, for each child here. Just the future that it is, and another soul that can spend eternity in your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for being a great God. In your name we pray, amen.
In the Zion's Praises, song number 224.